I want you to realize that God's commands are not designed to spoil your fun. They are designed to protect you.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In this concluding part of his last message in a mini-series entitled Finding the Love of Your Life, Pastor Grant will once again turn to Scripture to find very practical advice about building a God-honoring relationship with that person Christian suspects God may intend to be their spouse. Previously, Pastor Grant has given us a list of character qualities that a Christian should be looking for in a potential mate. We have also heard how Scripture identifies red flags in a relationship that a Christian must heed in order to avoid troubles that God has not intended to come their way. Pastor Grant made it very clear, God intends marriage to be for keeps, and bad choices bring heavy consequences. This evening, Pastor Grant will conclude his message by going once again to God's Word, where we will discover some very practical steps for a Christian to follow in developing a God-honoring relationship with that special person. If you have your Bibles, please follow along with us as we listen to Pastor Grant conclude his message entitled, Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 3. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Number 2, maintain sexual purity. Make no mistake, as strong as you think you are, a relationship with a person who is not committed to sexual purity can harm you. Here's a great verse, and we're not going to turn to it, but you can write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says this, bad company ruins good morals. I want you to grab a hold of that verse, and it's not just for relationships. It's a general principle. Young person, you're here. You're not even interested in a relationship, but it affects who you choose to be your friends. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, bad company ruins good morals. The truth be known, many young persons and older people have been destroyed because of their friends. So if the person you're dating is okay with sex before marriage, might I suggest to you, you are in the wrong relationship. You say, Pastor, this is 2016. Wake up. This is 2016. Don't you know that some Christians not only have sex before marriage, but don't you realize, Pastor, that Christians living together before marriage is now pretty common? I know, but God has not changed his mind. He still calls sex before marriage immorality. And look what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 18, he says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And then he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I don't want you to miss this. Somebody sent me this quote. Your body is a temple, not a visitor center. I hope you got that. Your body is a temple. It's not designed to be a visitor center. Here's a key. I don't want you to miss this. Because sometimes, I remember when I was coming along, and even as an adult, sometimes you hear what the Bible has to say, and you say, man, why does God want to cramp our style? Why does God want to kill our fun? What is God up to? I want you to realize that God's commands are not designed to spoil your fun. They are designed to protect you. I hope and pray that as we start looking, you know, sometimes it takes you a while to get there, to realize that God's commands are not designed to spoil the fun. It's really to protect us. And so as I studied this passage, I put here three reasons why God tells us to be morally pure. Let me share them with you. Three reasons why God tells us to be morally pure. One, sin against God has consequences. And I think sometimes we are forgetting this. In this sex crazy age, we have forgotten that God is this powerful. He is truly powerful, and there are consequences to sinning against him. And he says here in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, and he goes on, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. And I am, you know, I'm so thankful that it doesn't stop there. But before we continue, I want to stop there to remind us that there are consequences to sinning against God. And we all need to grasp that. There are consequences. And I cannot live there. I cannot park there. But aren't you glad? Because my goodness, if that was the end of the story, we would all be in trouble. But thank God for verse number 11, and such were some of you. Yes, the church, the early church, had a little of everybody. The homosexuals were there. The sodomites were there. Everybody, the fornicators, everybody were there. But the Apostle Paul says, that's what you were, but you were washed. A change took place. A total turnabout when they came to Jesus, and they stopped, and he says they've been washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for salvation? But no, that's number one. But number two is something very interesting. The second reason why God tells us to be morally pure, because unlike any other sin, immorality is a sin against your body. Here's how the Bible puts it. Flee sexual immorality. And then it says this. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he commits sexual immorality, sins against his own body. I don't want you to miss that. The Apostle Paul is saying sexual immorality. And I want you to be listening good, because I know, I'm sure that in this audience, there are individuals who are challenged in this particular area. And because our society says it's okay, you figure it's okay. But number one, as I said, sin against God has consequences. But don't miss this. Unlike any other sin, immorality is a sin against your own body. It's different from every other sin. Every sin is bad. But Paul states that sexual sins are in a different class. Why? Because they're intertwined with the heart, the soul, the mind, as well as the body. If you notice in a previous verse, he says the guy who has sex with a harlot is joined to her. Did you notice that? In verse number 16, do you not know that he is joined to a harlot? In other words, from the world standpoint, it was just a physical thing. The Apostle Paul says, no, there is some unusual things that happens with sexual immorality, and there is an intertwining of the heart, the soul, the mind, and the body. And as a result, these types of things can destroy our lives and relationships in a totally different way than every other sin. One of the dear friends of Cheryl and I, wonderful Christian girl, she got involved in a sexual relationship. You know, sometimes the Christian guys don't seem to have as much excitement as some of the other guys. And this guy seemed so exciting. She got into a sexual relationship with him. He was so exciting, but he wasn't saved. And I remember the unsaved people who knew the guy came to Cheryl, because they knew Cheryl was this girl's friend. The unsaved were telling Cheryl, please warn your friend to get rid of him. He's bad news. Can you imagine? The ungodly are saying he's bad. And so Cheryl tried her best, but this intertwining had taken place. Sometimes you wonder, why can't somebody, isn't it obvious that this is a bad relationship? But I am here to tell you, based on what the Word of God is saying, sexual sins are different, and somehow sexual sins, they tie so much of us up that we cannot walk away. What a tragedy. Oh, I could tell you, if you ever heard the rest of the story, to know how this totally destroyed her life, destroyed the life of the daughter that was produced from the relationship. And I am suggesting to you, my friend, as attractive as it might seem, sexual immorality, listen, every one of us is in the flesh, and as a result, every single one of us has this temptation to do sexual sin. Yes, it is a reality, but we need somehow to remind ourselves, whether we're single or we're married, we need to remind ourselves that there is great danger in sexual sin. Third, immorality makes us miss important red flags. And of course, the same was true in that relationship. I said to you the last time I spoke on this subject that some people say, I'd never buy a car without a test drive. So why would I marry somebody without a test drive? And I pointed out to you that the research tells us that sexual immorality, sex before marriage, actually increases the divorce rate. So I'm actually here to tell you that the so-called test drive reduces the likelihood of success in your marriage. So it is my prayer that today we might say, that's not the way I want to go. You know, one of the reasons why the divorce increases is because this thing blinds us. The red flags are hidden. But you know this fog, as soon as folks get married. So my little friend, she eventually married that guy. But as soon as she got married, the fog started to lift. You know, they tell you what? They say, love is blind, but marriage what? Marriage is the eye opener. You've heard that? Love is blind, but marriage is the eye opener. And somehow the fog starts lifting once you're married. And that's the problem. In her case, because of the intertwining, even although he ended up going to jail, he came back out, they got divorced, and she was so intertwined with this man. This is a young lady who could quote you the Bible, who could witness and share the gospel with you. She was so intertwined with this young man that eventually she was divorced. He moved upstairs. She was downstairs. He was upstairs with his girlfriend. She was down there, and he would move upward and downward. She was so intertwined. Somehow she just couldn't get her mind off.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Number three, exercise financial discipline. Number one, don't become financially intertwined. You've probably heard the old proverb, there's many a slip between the cup and the lip. All right? So don't start acting like you're married until you got a ring on the finger. Amen? It does bother me. Folks come to me for counseling, financial counseling. But everybody, we bought a house together. We have this together. Listen, just wait till you get married. You're not married yet. There is many a slip between the cup and the lip. Second, don't spend to impress. You know, some guys try to be Mr. Big Spender, acting like you have a Gucci budget, but in truth, you're really on a Walmart salary. But then Don't be Mr. Cheapskate. That's the other guy. You know, girls, you ever ran into Mr. Cheapskate? One of our members sent me this story. I appreciate those of you. You know, people send me stories. So you wonder where some of these stories come from. They're coming now from some of the members who figure they can share with me a good story. So this happened to one of her friends. And this young lady was invited to dinner at a nice restaurant in Delaware County. And the guy had made all the arrangements. But then he asked her to drive because his car had a problem. But then at the end of a very nice meal, he asked her to help pay the bill because he didn't have enough money. So she, you know, she told me, I have to go to the bathroom for a little. I'll come right back. Half hour later, the poor boy is still there. Poor boy don't even have a ride. He calls and he wonders. He says, how long are you going to be in the bathroom? Are you coming? She says, to be honest, I just pulled into my driveway. That was the first and the last, and she didn't hear from him again. Listen, guys, I know everything has changed. I know we're all equal, but I still think, guys, you invite out a young lady. No, if this is not supposed to be a date, you're at work, okay? You're at work, and you all decide, let's just go for lunch. You, of course, split the bill. But now you're going to take this girl out, this young lady out, taking this person out, and we're going to have dinner. Pony up the money. Make sure you tap Mac before you get there, or you got a credit card that works. You know, don't, guys, can I tell you? Don't start pulling out a card. The lady said, that one don't work. Try this one. That one don't work either. You understand? Guys, get it together, all right? Not be Mr. Cheapskate. Fourth, get feedback from family and friends. Get feedback from family and friends. You know, one of the things that is tragic is that sometimes when people start dating, they disappear. Do you know that? Their friends don't see them. Their family hardly sees them. I am here to tell you, young lady, young man, it's a huge mistake. One of the best ways to develop a relationship is to make sure there is interaction with your family and your friends, and you want to actually invite feedback. Don't get bent out of shape if somebody isn't excited over this person. Weigh what is said to you carefully before you brush it aside. Wait, because remember, sometimes your poor little heart is beating so fast that your mind has shut down. So allow somebody, whose mind is still working to pour some wisdom into your life. Here's what Proverbs 15:22 says. Plans go wrong, finish it with me. Plans go wrong for lack of what? Advice. Many advisors bring success. I'm going to suggest to you, my friend, if in your relationship you want to have success, you want to make sure you have advisors. And this principle not only works for relationships, it works across the board. Listen, many advisors bring success. I'm going to be closing in a moment, but I just want to make sure those of you who are parents or who have responsibility for children, I hope that you have not fallen prey to this whole idea that, listen, no matter what I say, the kids are going to do what kids do today. I am hoping that every parent in this church will have listened to what I have shared, and you, in turn, will share this with your young people. Our young generation needs to get a grasp of some of these principles. And it is my prayer, my friend, that not only those of you who have listened here, but others will grasp these principles because of what you and I will share with them. I'm closing. Perhaps over the weeks you've realized you're in a wrong relationship. You realize the relationship you're in is not God's best. I'm going to suggest, as much as you would like to be in a relationship, don't settle for less than God's best. And if that's you, I'm hoping that this morning you will talk to God and say, God, help me to bring this to a close. In a moment, I'm going to ask those of you, your relationship may be going fine. Your relationship may not be going fine. You may be in no relationship, whatever it is. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask those of you who are single, if having listened to the word of God, you are willing to make a commitment to God. God, I have already been going your way, but I'm recommitting. Or it could be you're not going God's way right now, but you're determined in your relationships, you're going to do it God's way. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, because I want to pray for you. If there's people here who said, I want to do it God's way, I want to consecrate you to God. But it could be there's somebody here who's not even saved. You see, deciding, I started by saying this, deciding who to marry is the second most important decision. The most important decision of my life is deciding, you see, deciding who to marry affects my life on earth. But the most important decision will affect eternity. And that decision has to do with accepting perfect love. God loved you and he loved me. And he wants to have a relationship. Did you know that? God, the God of the universe. Sometimes when you hear about God wants to save you, you don't realize what this is all about. This idea of God saving you, the concept is that God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to inspire you. But it all starts by him saving you and changing you. It starts by you're making a decision to say yes to Jesus, the one who died on the cross for your sin, the one whose blood was shed that he could cleanse you. The decision starts there with your saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I believe there are people here, young people, older individuals, who have never yet made that decision to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to do that, to say, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.